But every time somebody cusses in front of me, I don't judge them. I love them for where they are, what they're going through. And I know God's not done with them yet. That's relational wisdom. I want to tell you a little bit about how I view things. I grew up in the church. I don't know how many sermons I heard by the time I was baptized or even by the time I turned 18. By the time I got married in my 20s, I was still going to church and I was hearing sermons. Some of them went right over my head. Some of them hit me. Most of them didn't. I don't know how many Bible classes I sat through, how many things that I listened to over the years. But I got to tell you, I do recall a time that when I was in a Bible class or when I was listening to somebody teach, I thought to myself, I already know this. I don't need this. And some of you are laughing because you know that's what you felt at times. And you just hear stuff over and over. And even today when I'm preparing this lesson, and this is something that I'm working with Austin on, I said, you know, preach to yourself first. Because if you don't preach to yourself first, you can't preach to anybody else. We're going through a book called The 16 Undeniable Laws of Communication by John Maxwell. I recommend that book to anybody who teaches, preaches, or has to do presentations. It is the best book that I have ever read on speaking publicly. And if you don't know who John Maxwell is, he wrote the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. That's how he got started. But long before that, he was preaching, and he credits his preaching with giving him enough hours speaking publicly to help him go out and do his leadership conferences. And I actually knew him back before he started doing leadership conferences. I knew him back when he was a preacher. I would go, he was in California, and he'd come to Florida to do preacher training, and I happened to hear about him the first time I went. I thought, this guy is good. I got to hear more from him. And so every opportunity I had as a young preacher in Jacksonville, I went to hear him, and I still do. And my friend, Jerry Brewster, got me in at Florida College when he went there to speak, and I got to hear him speak. And, of course, some of the things he said I've heard before, but it's just always great to see him. But Jerry also got me in on a book signing after it was over, which was the coolest thing ever. And I went up to John Maxwell and I said, look, you don't know me, but I want you to know how much influence you've had on my life. I am a preacher now, and I credit a lot of what I teach and the way I teach to you. And he teared up, because he's so genuine, and it meant so much to him for somebody to take the time and just tell him thanks. And he comes from a Wesleyan background, and is totally different than the Church of Christ, and some theology we're totally different on. But I got to tell you that just because somebody is not from the Church of Christ doesn't mean you can't listen to them. I remember one time when Linda ordered fish at a restaurant, and it came out with the head and the tail on it. And when you cook fish, the eyes look a little funny. And she looked at it, and she didn't know what to do with it. And she finally just dug into the middle where the meat was. And from what I remember, it was pretty good fish, wasn't it? She ate the whole thing, but you know what? She didn't eat the head, and she didn't eat the tail, and she didn't eat the bones. So people outside of our fellowship sometimes have good meat, but you don't have to eat the head, and you don't have to eat the tails, and you don't have to eat the bones. But take what good you can from those that are outside the church, Because if we stay in our own fellowship, we're going to be confined to our own fellowship. So, if you have complaints or concerns about what I just said, the email is John Shackelford@North Tampa Church of Christ. And if that one doesn't work, you can call or text Chris Kent. I'll give you his number later. But I hope you understand where I'm coming from with that. I hope I made that clear. Things to remember, and I'm saying all that because what I want tonight is when we're going through this, I want you to take a moment as you hear what I'm talking about, hear what I'm saying, and look at your life and say, have I reached spiritual maturity in these areas? And we live in such a narcissistic society, and it's so hard for us not to be offended. It's so hard for us to think the other guys are not doing it right, so I'm doing it right, or I'm closer to being right, so I'm okay. We are all on a journey together to become passionate followers of Jesus Christ. So when you hear the things that you hear tonight, there may be something in there that really sticks out to you. And when it sticks out to you, you may need to underline it a little bit more. You may need to work on it a little bit. And if you're not sure and you're married, just talk to your spouse where you need to work on things. I'm sure they'll be glad to help you. But last week, we got the backstory, Genesis 25 through 35. Things to remember, you can be right and not righteous. And what I mean by that, you can be totally right about something, but handle it in a way that's not righteous. That's the reason why speaking the truth in love is so important. Relational maturity is a byproduct of spiritual maturity. You got to have relational maturity if you're going to have spiritual maturity. I have seen people in the church say and do things that make me cringe because they have no relational maturity. There is a person in this church, and I'm going to remain nameless. He got his wife coming to church. She was baptized, and then some well-meaning woman said, now it's up to you to teach your mom and dad, because if you don't, they're going to go to hell. And she never darkened the doors of the church again. And I've watched this, being a preacher's kid and being in the church, I've watched well-meaning people who have some spiritual knowledge, some Bible knowledge, but have no relational maturity, and you have to have both. Wisdom is not your learning style, but your lifestyle, and a lack of wisdom causes mistrust. And that is the biggest thing in a relationship. If you do not have trust in a relationship, you do not have a relationship, because all you have is acquaintance and not a relationship. And that is so pivotal to our relationships with one another. And that's the reason why sometimes people come to church, they're here, but they're not engaged. And it's because they either don't trust what's going on, or they're fearful that people will see them as they really are and judge them. And one of the things that we need to do is take people where they are and help them get to where they need to be. I love when I was little and my mom and dad converted this lady. It was the greatest fellowship meal that we ever had. We're all sitting at the table. This woman was backwoods, I guess is the best. She was just, let's just say it right, she was a redneck. She had never been anywhere, never done anything much with her life. She wasn't well educated. She had four kids that baptized her and her husband, and they came to a fellowship meal after church one Sunday. You know, back then everybody brought food in, and you didn't have to worry about getting sued for all the things that you get sued for today. But everybody brought food in, and we had this potluck, and we would all sneak around and say, such and such brought their cream corn today. You need to make sure and get some. And I will never forget, I was carrying my plate. I had waited to see what was getting gone the most, and I was getting that, and I had my plate, and I'm walking around. I was a teenager, I think, at the time. And this woman was sitting down, and one of her little kids reached for something and knocked her plate and her glass all over her lap. And I'm like, oh, no. she cussed in church. And it was the greatest day for a teen boy that somebody cussed in church. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've heard a lot of cussing in this church, a lot more than I should. And I'm not talking about outsiders, I'm talking about members when they slip because they forget I'm the preacher. But every time somebody cusses in front of me, I don't judge them. I love them for where they are, what they're going through, and I know God's not done with them yet. That's relational wisdom. Let's talk about the don'ts of relationally wise people. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18 is what I want to talk about tonight to go along with our buddy Joseph, who wasn't very wise in how he dealt with his brothers. He didn't learn from his first dream, and he went and told him the second dream, which was even worse. James chapter 3, 13 through 18 asks this question: who is wise and understanding among you? And he goes on to say, let him show it by the number of verses he can quote and his doctrinal positions. No, I don't think that's what it says. Let him show it by his good life. Now, that does not mean good life like I've got all the money I need and I've got the car that I want and the house that I live in. It's talking about somebody that lives a good moral life and relational life. By the deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. And I love that because, you know, I've seen people do good deeds, but it didn't come from wisdom. You know, there's a lot of people on the side of the road asking for money all the time. And I went to a birthday party for somebody that was an alcoholic at one time and ran an AA meeting. And I went there with them for that party. And, of course, I was the guy that was having they were having the party for. He and his wife were Christians. They were outstanding people, but they were still hanging out with the people that they had hung out before with AA. And they weren't judging them. They were just trying to bring them along. They have done more for the Trinity Church of Christ as far as bringing people in than the whole church has done together. And they asked me to come for the birthday party, and we met at the birthday party, and it was a bunch of people. And they started telling stories about how they would put a gas can in the back of their car, and when they needed money for alcohol or for drugs, they would walk down the road with the gas can, and they called it gassing people, I think. And they'd walk down the road with a gas can, and they would see somebody, and they'd say, look, can you give me a few bucks for gas? My car broke down over here, and I just want to get home. And, of course, people are nice people, and they'd give them $5, $10. And they said, and we would use that money to go buy alcohol and drugs. And they were laughing about it. They thought it was hilarious. Giving money to somebody on the side of the road is not always wise. Sometimes you're perpetuating bad behavior. And the reason why I'm saying that to you is because wisdom says you find out what's going on with them really. When somebody comes to the church here and says they need gas, money for gas, one of the things we do is we take them and we buy gas for them. Because if they really need gas, that's what we're getting them. We're not getting them anything else. I remember one time this lady came up to me and she says, I need gas money. Will you help me? And I was going in the grocery store to pick up something for Nancy. And I said, well, let me just say this. I'm going in there. I'll be there 10, 15 minutes. If I come back and you're still here, I'll try to help you out. So I went out and got the groceries, came back out, and she was still there. And I said, what do you need gas for? We're trying to get down to the hospital in South Tampa, and the truck, we're about to run out of gas, and we won't make it down there, and we won't make it home, and we just don't have any money right now. So I took them over to a gas station, and I filled it up, filled their truck up. But here's what was so cool about that, is their truck really was on empty. But if I went over there and filled their truck up and I saw that it was half full, I would know I was being played, right? We got to be relationally wise. If we're going to do deeds in humility, they've got to come from wisdom. But if you harbor, now, I want you to stop right here. If you harbor, now that means you've got it in your heart. That means that you are living this. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. One of the things that I do when I pray over these lessons is I think, God, what is it that you want me to learn tonight? I know what I need to teach these people. It's all right here, but what is it that I need to learn? And there are times that I have harbored bitter envy over something that had happened. And there's times when I harbored selfish ambition. I'm going to just confess tonight I came in and I saw Shaq's truck out there. If you haven't seen that truck, it's the prettiest thing ever. And that's his old one, not his new one. His new one's a piece of trash. But his old one is just the prettiest thing ever. And I went in and I said, Shaq, you know, if I was as good looking as you and had as much money as you, I would be so much trouble. Now, I was just joking with him. But there's been times where I've been envious when I thought to myself, Lord, I'm doing what you want me to do, but I'm not able to do what other people are doing. And it's not because I need to do it, it's just because I want to do it. And then there's times where people have done things to me and I've been envious. And those are all the things. And I have to tell you, what I do on Sunday morning when we partake of communion is I ask God to show me anybody that I have anything against before I partake of communion. And guess what? If I do, he shows me. And I am so thankful that it's been a long time since I've had that. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. And I just want you to underline earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. Because there's a lot of people that think they're wise in the way they do things, but there is some wisdom that is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise of harvest of righteousness. Now, I love that verse because it's got a lot in it, but it's got to be applied in order for it to mean anything. A lot of times we will want to dissect a verse and say, this is why we partake of communion on the first day of every week, but I don't hear a lot of preaching where we dissect these words and look at it in terms of how we live. The very first thing he says here in the don'ts of relational wise people is don't compromise your integrity. Don't compromise your integrity. He says wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. In First John chapter 3 and verse 3, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Now I want you to write out beside that, I want you to write out verses 1 through 3 because I want you to go back and read this in context because it talks about the salvation that we have in Christ. And he is saying is first of all pure. And what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, Proverbs says the man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes the crooked path will be found out. And I just wrote this down when I was doing this. I can't hear what you're saying because what you're doing speaks so loudly. I can't hear what you're saying because what you're doing speaks so loudly. If you're a judgmental person, you can talk about love all day long, but it's not going to do you any good. If you're a critical person, you can talk about peace all day long, but it's not going to do you any good. And John Maxwell, in his book, the very first law of communication is the law of credibility. And it starts off by talking, it doesn't matter what you say if what you say doesn't match who you are. And that law of credibility needs to be there. Number two. Man, this is going fast tonight. Did the preacher pray too long tonight? I think he must have. Number two, don't antagonize others. Wisdom is peace-loving. It is an honor for a man to stay out of a fight. Underline those words, stay out of a fight. I grew up in the South, and if somebody wanted to pick a fight, I was ready. Whether it was verbally or physically, that's how we grew up. I remember one time me and boys were walking through this parking lot. This guy ran a stop sign, and then he pulled up next to me, and I rolled my window down. He says, you want to make something of it? I said, yeah. He got out of his car. I got out of my car. As soon as he saw Matthew, who was a big mountain of a man, he says, I think we made a mistake here. There was no fight, but there was a cart boy that was out there, and boy, he was so excited. He thought he was going to see something that night. But anyway, it is an honor for a man to stay out of fight. Only fools insist on quarreling. Now, underline those words. And I want you to think about your political views. And I don't care whether you're on the left or you're on the right or somewhere in the middle. Only fools insist on quarreling. And I want you to hear that because of the fact that I think there's so much harm done in the church because we quarrel with each other over things we have no control over. Arguments are caused by three things: comparing. And I struggle with this one because I'm always wanting to one-up somebody. Anybody else like that? Where if you tell somebody you did this and they'll tell you that, well, we did this. That was more impressive than what you did. And it's like when I went skydiving the first time, I was so excited. I went skydiving. I told everybody I was skydiving. And I talked about how I'd never had a panic attack in my life until I saw my son jump out of a perfectly good airplane. And for the first time, I understood what a panic attack was because there was nothing I could do, but it was panicking me watching him go out the door. And then the next thing I knew, I was going out the door, and I wasn't worried about my son at all anymore. But as soon as I was telling somebody about that, they said, yeah, I did that. Did you do it solo? Did you do it tandem? I just did tandem. These are things that cause arguments. Condemning, judging others with different points of view. When you have a different point of view, there's nothing wrong with declaring your point of view, but when you judge others, contradicting that causes arguments. Now, I'm just going to put down, and I know Nancy's watching online, but I just want to put down that the hardest thing for spouses is when your spouse starts telling a story and they don't remember it the same way you do. Some of you are laughing because you know what I'm talking about, right? Now, there should be no poking, no nudging, and no dirty looks tonight. But it happens, right? And I got to tell you, it's tough on me. And I can tell you, every time that Nancy starts to tell a story and I remember it different, and then I interrupt and try to tell it different than what she did, guess who gets mad? It's not me. So, turn over to page 3. Proverbs says, a wise man controls his temper. He knows that anger causes mistakes. He knows that anger causes mistakes. I've dealt with anger most of my life. I've not conquered it completely, but I've done so much better with it. As I've gotten older, it's gotten a lot easier. And here's what I want to tell you about anger. Every time you let anger get the best of you, the next time you get angry, it's going to be harder to control. Now, I want you to hear that, because this took me forever. However, Every time you get angry and you control it, the next time it's going to be easier to control. And many of us who deal with that have to practice that constantly, controlling that anger so that we don't let it get ahead of ourselves. Now, the Bible says it's okay to be angry, but it says, be ye angry and sin not. And that's the key to it, because a lot of times in our anger we say or we do things that we regret later. And we don't want to do that. Number three, don't minimize others. Wisdom is considerate. Proverbs 15:4, gentle words calls life and health. Griping brings discouragement. So what does it mean to minimize others? I'm going to tell you, everybody in this room thinks they're smarter than somebody else. Amen? You may be sitting next to them, I don't know. But everybody in this room thinks they're smarter than somebody else. As a matter of fact, Austin and I were talking about this the other day. He says, I always thought everybody thought the same way I did and had the same experiences that I did. And I'm like, you're not in Rome anymore, buddy. And what's really funny, I got to tell you this. He told me, he says, before he took the job here, he was thinking Rome has gotten to 38,000 people. It's getting too big. I need to move to some place where there's about 3,800 people. He moves here, there's 380,000 people here. I said, you're moving in the wrong direction, buddy. But I told him this, there are 3,800 people you can get to know. There's probably somebody in your life, somebody around you that's not as smart, that's not as gifted, or not as skilled. When my boys were growing up, they would complain sometimes about what was happening to their friends or what their friends were doing and so forth. And we did not shelter them from what was going on at all. We wanted them to be in the middle of it and try to understand it. And they would say, why would this person do this thing? And I would often remind them, they probably didn't have the parents that you have. They probably didn't have the education you got at home. All they got was the education they got at school. And so that gave them an opportunity to empathize and sympathize with others. Number four, do not criticize others. Wisdom is submissive. Other ways it's translated, open to reason, allows for discussion. I want you to write beside the word, doesn't criticize others, write listen. Just listen. And don't worry about trying to correct somebody when they're wrong about something. Just listen. If you've established a relationship where they're ready for you to help them, they will ask for your help. But in the meantime, you're not going to get to help them if you don't listen. And that is a key to every relationship you have. If you're not listening, you're not understanding. Proverbs 12:15, a fool thinks he needs no advice, but a wise man listens to others. Number five, don't emphasize the mistakes of others. Wisdom is full of mercy and good fruit. And underline mercy and good fruit. Mercy gives forgiveness and grace. Good fruit builds others up. So you can say, I've forgiven somebody because of what they've done, but I'm not hanging out with them. But good fruit says, I am going to do my best to help this person to the next level. Proverbs 17:9, love forgets mistakes. Nagging about them parts the best of friends. Number six, don't disguise your weaknesses. Wisdom is impartial and sincere. This past Sunday, this sweet young lady came up to me after service, and Nancy and I were standing fairly close to each other, and she says, you can't really be as bad as you talk about when you're preaching. And I just looked over at Nancy and said, tell her. And Nancy says, oh yeah, he's really bad. And that was right after I called her the perfect wife. On the way home, we had a discussion. Not really. But a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. Underline those words. They are valuable words. We always want to be right, and being right, even when we're wrong, is detrimental to our relationships with others. I know I've told this story before, but some of you have never heard it, so this is for those of you who have never heard it. When Nancy and I moved to Jacksonville, she had this thing, because back when we were first married, she would say, we would have a discussion. I should have been a lawyer, because I could always prove my point. And she would say to me, we would have a discussion, an argument, whatever. I like to call them discussions because I was discussing these things and she was listening. So it was more of a preaching than discussion. But she would look at me and she said, you know, Neil, you're always, 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 always right. And I would say, you're so wise. Now, what do you think, women, what do you think that did to our relationship? Oh, it made us warm and cuddly. So one time we were in Jacksonville, we just started preaching, we were setting up housekeeping in a home we had rented, and there was a dishwasher here, and there was a cabinet right here, and then there were other cabinets behind, and there were other cabinets here, but this cabinet right here was just a small cabinet, didn't mean anything. And I watched Nancy, and she had washed all of her dishes, and she was putting the dishes in the cabinet behind her. And I had this wisdom about me that I had done time motion studies. And I said, sweetheart, if you take the dishes right here and you put them in the cabinet right here, you won't have to take those three steps here, and it would be much better for you. So you need to put the dishes up here. And she says, no, I'm going to put them over here. And I said, wait a minute, you do not understand. And for the next, I'm sure it seemed to her like it was hours, but I'm sure it was only about 10, maybe 15 minutes, I began to explain to her how much better this would be. And she finally looked at me and she said, Neil, I don't care if you never unload the dishwasher while we live here, but these dishes are going over there. And I said, so I don't have to do dishes anymore? We went to bed and cuddled and had such a romantic evening after that, as you can tell. So, Proverbs 28:13, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes will never be successful. Colossians 2:2-3, my purpose is that you may be encouraged in heart and united in love. Underline those words, encouraged in love and united, or encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have, and underline these words, full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You want to know where to get knowledge and wisdom? There's a lot of good books out there, but the best one is the Bible, where you can see how Jesus came to earth and treated man, how he handled his anger, how he handled his enemies, and how he taught and lived. Oh my goodness. Y'all have 2 minutes to say something. All right. Shaq wants to say something. Wait, Shaq. Hey. Nick's going to bring you the microphone.
Hello.
Yeah, hold on just a second, Joel. Oh, John wants to say something.
Yeah, it's not specifically related to the lesson, but I just wanted to give a prayer update. I got a text from Deja that Lizzie is going to be going home tomorrow.
Oh, good.
So she's still contagious and still on medication, but I take that as a positive thing. So just update your prayers. And
all right. Well, good. Good. Anybody else? Joel, go ahead.
Greetings from Arkansas Church of Christ.
Oh, really? Okay, well, tell them we said hello back, if you can do that. I guess they're listening, so they can tell that we said hello back. Anybody else? You got 2 minutes to criticize, to object. Bob's always going to criticize. Not really, Bob. All right, Bob, let's hear it. Say something smart.
So you've been talking about your wife and yourself and the discussions you've had. We've got a dishwasher that's just not working properly. My lovely wife, now this is hard to believe, called me out this afternoon. And here's what she said to me. The gel is sticking in the little dispenser on the door.
Uh-huh.
And she was trying to explain to me that the spring is weak or something. I didn't find no spring. But here's what she said to me. Finally, she says, you mean to tell me you were a neutrolic specialist on a tactical fighter in the United States Air Force, and you cannot fix the dishwasher?
Amen, amen.
And here's what I said to her. Do I look like the Maytag repairman?
And how long have y'all been married, Bob?
50.
How long have y'all been married?
50.
50 years? 50 years exactly?
Pretty close?
Okay, 50 years you've been married. Let's pray for them to stay married, okay? Anybody else? That's a great story, Bob. Thank you. And no, you do look like the Maytag repairman. Anybody else? Nothing else? Let's go to God in prayer and we'll dismiss our class. Thank you, Father, for this time together. We pray, Father, that your word has been beneficial to our heart, that you have had this opportunity to be with us and enjoy us as we enjoy your word and our time together. Father, we're so thankful for Lizzie's new announcement that she's going home, and we pray, Father, that will go well. We ask, Father, that you give us relational wisdom in all of our relations. Help us, Father, to be your servants, to glorify you in the way that we deal with and that we treat others. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.